The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
You basically lost two All-Ireland down in one season. It's only 9 months since we lost the last one.
Only Mayo could lose two All-Ireland in one season.
Yeah, that's going to be cool, isn't it?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
I'm delighted to say we have Joe McMahon with us now. Joe, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. How's things?
Very good. How has it been in the aftermath?
Yeah, it's been a great few days. I suppose the outpour of emotion you've seen in the immediate aftermath, and that was probably just pure emotion from the roller coaster of a year that it had been, with all the challenges that have been thrown at us, and to come out on top and experience one All Ireland, and it was just great for the lads.
What's it like from your own perspective? What's the difference between winning one on the field of play and then being involved in the backroom team and plotting the course that you did have to plot this year? How do they compare? Is it possible even to compare them?
Yeah, well, funny, it's a question that I've been asked a number of times over the last number of days, and I suppose it's a difficult one, and the one constant is that we're Tyrone people, and we want what's best for Tyrone, and to achieve that, both as a player, I'm in a privileged position, along with Pete Donnelly, Colly Holmes and Brian Duher there. And I mean, you've seen it for yourself. The lads, we celebrated as if we were players also, and you could say on the pitch and also off the pitch there for a couple of days. And I think as a coach, you tend to, and you are involved as a whole group and thinking for everybody else. And as a player, you tend to just think about yourself and your own job. But I suppose it's a difficult one to compare and say one is better or one is less than the other. Much of it is the same. And in particular, when you talk about it and think about it as a coach, and you see moves coming together and what you've worked on off the or on the training pitch and coming to fruition on the actual day and on an Ireland final and up until that stage, it can be satisfying. But you know, in the midst of it all, you think to yourself, you've just won All Ireland, everything's rosy, but we certainly would have a lot of things to work on if we were to build on that.
Well, I mean, that's the best part about it, isn't it? The coaching journey never actually finishes, because there's no such thing as perfection in sport, really. But it must have felt pretty close to it when the final whistle goes and some of those moves have come off. Can I ask you about your role, Joe? Because obviously, you know, we've known you as a deep thinker about the game and as somebody who could fulfil a multitude of different roles as a player. What's your job as a coach? What specifically do you look after? What are you charged with?
Yeah, well, we share the roles, and grateful to Brian and Fergal giving myself, Pete and Colly a free rein in terms of what our thoughts were, what our plans were. And with my own specific role, I was involved a lot with the skills end of things and refining the skills, and then doing it under no pressure, and then putting them in high pressure moments and exposing them in those areas. And I suppose that's a reflection and how you want to be as a player and as a team. It's all right setting up nice fancy drills and they look good, but you want to see how they are in a pressurised moment, and we got a good opportunity for that because of the group of players we had, the availability we had for most of the season, and being able to work and bounce ideas off Humsey and Pete Donnelly along with Fergal and Brian. And you know, I think building up to throughout the season, our main focus and the foundation of any performance is obviously the intensity and endeavour and everything that you want to give with your hard work. But your skills, it's all right having a game plan, that's one thing, but being able to execute it at a high level with the skills is very important, and that's something we focused on in particular.
When you say skills, is that all aspects? Like, does that include shooting? Is it hand passing off your weak hand? Is it as basic and fundamental as that to try and put the stress on the players so they realise that actually they do need to go and do a little bit of work in their own time on one specific aspect of it? Or is it actually more teamwork? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so in particular with your skills, just your basic fundamentals, as simple as your hand pass, your catching, your pickup, and then just your kick pass and solo and shooting, all of those things. And it's piecing it together that you can do it under no pressure, and then being able to execute under high pressure. And it was never a case of, you know, that's saying that one thing is saying that's not good enough. That's fair enough. But why is it not good enough? And it's highlighting what maybe areas that fellas need to work on the training field and away on their own as well. And as much as you can, and I feel myself and personally, when you're going to a gym session, if you're prepared to put as much time in the gym, you should be prepared to put as much time into your skills, because those are things that you can do in your own time. And then when you bring it to the training field, it'll further press on everything that you're trying to do as a group. And I suppose you could see that to an extent, but there's still plenty to work on.
It seems that a lot of the country woke up to the quality and the basic skill sets of club football in Tyrone last year when club matches were actually televised, that there's a deep reservoir of very talented, skillful footballers. So the raw materials that you have to work with, they're ingrained. Was that always the case, Joe? Or is that kind of an explosion post your team in the noughties that actually the dividend from your group then going back to the clubs and coaching has actually led to this scenario where you do have a lot of very talented players that you have to work with?
Yeah, well, that is a good observation, and the exposure that the club football got in recent years, you got to see that, and a lot of people got to see that, and that's credit to the work that has gone on within the clubs, the high quality coaching happening throughout. I see it in my own club as well, on the St. Enda's, and the time and an effort that it takes to get to that level. And I suppose I'm involved at the very early age of my own club at the Gaelic Start. So you're talking in around 4-year-olds to 6-year-olds at that stage. And I think there has been a lot of work done throughout Tyrone clubs in the last number of years, and it's really honing in on the skills and then the game sense along with that. And you can see that a lot of the lads that I've worked with this year, some of them have played with, some of them have watched from an underage, and they always had that skill level. And you can look back to maybe those players looking at their idols from the noughties. The likes of Canavan, McGuigan, Muggsy, those lads, when they look at those players and want to emulate and see how they play the game and watch how they play the game, maybe it might think, this is what I need to do. And I've been very lucky in terms of coming in at the level that I have at this with the Tyrone team. The high skill level is there, but it's really just continually pressing them, and they've put in a serious amount of work and effort, and it's paid off, thankfully.
The game smarts is the other thing you talk about there, and that team in the noughties, it had the McMahons and it had McGinley, and it didn't just have the absolute ballers like McGuigan and Canavan that you're talking about, but it definitely had players, Philip Jordan, who understood my role is to do a specific thing today, and if I do that role, then we're going to be in the best position to win. In some ways, it's the sublimation of ego. And I don't know how a manager manages to get that perfectly correct, but your team, this team that has just won, seems not to have too much ego in it at all, in the way that, like, you had a former candidate for Footballer of the Year on the bench, coming off the bench and scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring, and still happy to come off the bench and still, like, you know, in the perfect position to score essentially the match-winning goal that broke Mayo's hearts. How does that happen? Where does that come from?
Well, I suppose any thrown person, or and in particular with reference to the players, I mean, they want to win. And it's almost a monkey off these lads' back, because maybe the noughties was thrown at them from the outside in, and these lads wanted to make a name for themselves as a group, and the time, the effort, the dedication, and the work that had gone on previous to this management group come in had certainly set us on our way to getting the best out of these lads. And the respect that Brian Duher, an All-Ireland winning captain, and Fergal Logan, who represented Tyrone and is a major presence and very highly thought of by the lads, everything that they brought, the environment that they created, their communication with the players, and it was just highlighting this is, we as a group are not far away. And lads came in and they knew their roles from early on, and we got that through our training sessions. We played a lot of football. Lads got set in their ways in the in-house games that we played, and that was probably something that didn't happen in the past for a variety of reasons. And there was a change of positions here, there, and everywhere. But lads maybe were set in their ways with the position, got to know their position, got coached in that position, and had a good understanding what their role was in the team, and whether that was a starting role or a playing role when you were coming into the game, and how you were going to influence the game. And there was never any egos with these lads, having played with them, having watched them. And it was just nurturing all their talents and piecing it together and getting the best out of them. And there was no questioning their hunger, their desire, their work rate, none of that. It was just the fine margins. It was taking their opportunities when they came in the game. It was being able to execute a skill, as we alluded to earlier, in high pressure moments. And I think when you have a leader like Paul de Campsie, and been able to lead by example, it was never much in how he said it. It's what he did and how he went about his business. The lads fed off that, and it was amazing to see him and his homecoming in Kyle Island.
It helps that all of your defenders can kick the ball sweetly with the outside of the right foot over the black spot from about 40, 45 metres. That's like a pretty good skill to have.
It's not bad. No, Paddy done it a couple of times, and he certainly has that quality there. And that's the modern day Gaelic footballer, I suppose. You're not stuck to one position, and it's having that belief that the likes of Michael McKiernan, Rona McNamee, Paddy Hamsey, you've seen it in the semi final, all going to go up and get a point. And I suppose if you look at it, I mean, they're all major athletes. You've seen their ability to get up and down the field, but to do that is one thing. To get up there, kick the points maybe at the end of a long run, then get themselves back into position, it's exhausting. But they were well prepped in everything that they've done, and it's a few fires for opposition teams to put out if you know that scores are coming from everywhere. And I suppose you could look back and thank Racy McManaman for that.
When you talk about the players, it sounds, so we've talked about the skills that they have, and we've talked about the personalities that they have, and then the coaching that they have. Who has the responsibility for actually deciding what the game plan is going to be for the semi-final and final? Like, how does that evolve from the conversations with the coaches and the management and the players?
Well, I suppose it's a bit of an open shop, really, in terms of when we talk and we reflect on a training session, or we're planning for a training session. We look at maybe areas that we need to focus on, and with the short league that we had, with only three games, really, and there was a lot of reflection, a lot of work done with video, and looking at areas that we could improve upon, and really building on each session. I suppose the time and effort that was put in with our planning, with our thought process, and we felt that maybe kickouts was an area that we wanted to look at. And in terms of a game plan as a whole, it was left open. Everybody had their thoughts, their ideas, and it was just piecing that together and then going out and putting it in the training field and trying to execute it in preparation for our opposition teams. And there's certainly been a lot of elements of luck as you went through the season. You could look at some of the chances Kerry maybe had against us, Monaghan in the Ulster final as well, Donegal, the penalty, big turning point in the game, and the final as well. Maybe you could look at stages where Mayo could have got the scores, but whilst that element of luck is there behind it all, we had opportunities ourselves and maybe didn't take it. And I think the game plan as a whole, we just wanted to focus on and develop the team with areas like the kickouts, like the press, and just behind it all, a high work rate, and that's what we got out of the lads.
The Kerry League game, when the story of this comes to be written, is going to end up being the road to Damascus, St Paul's conversion, as big a moment in the whole year. And maybe we're retrospectively investing too much in that one moment. But what do you think changed in the aftermath of that? And I think a couple of the lads were doing interviews with the BBC podcast over the last while, and they were just saying that it was a massive wake-up call. Tried something new that day. I think no sweepers at all that day. And it was like, I need to rethink this a little bit.
Yeah, well, you really... You can certainly look at it as a turning point in the season, but I think that we tried something, we worked on maybe going more man to man and asking more of our players individually, maybe coming off the back of setting up defensively as a whole. We felt that we had the quality there to go man to man, and it was something that, you know, left us with our eyes open wide, that we felt maybe we need to work on particular areas of our game. And a lot of mistakes had a lot to do with the scoreline that day. And any time you go down to Kerry, and I've experienced it unfortunately myself, it's always a tough place to go, and they will certainly ask a lot of questions of you. We hadn't had much time together leading up to that game, bar the few National League games. And we had the draw against Monaghan, and we were beat by Donegal, and we'd beaten Armagh. So, I mean, in terms of prep, we'd maybe taken our eye off the ball and felt that, you know, we are better than we were. And the big thing after that game was we did have a bit of time. Our sights were set in Cavan, which was a good game to get in terms of they were the Ulster champions, had refocused the minds, and we knew that it was going to take a lot of time and effort to build ourselves. And we never looked beyond Cavan, we never looked beyond Donegal because of the route we travelled. It was a game at a time. But there were many turning points beyond that. Lads stepped up in different moments of the season, and you really saw the confidence beginning to grow through the group. But it was certainly the platform to a good season. I've heard in the aftermath that many people threw on a few pounds and thrown at good odds after beating Pickery, but in the aftermath, it certainly didn't feel that way, and it was definitely a brave bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. And sometimes that old cliche about learning more about yourselves in defeat is actually true, and you need those dressing down to go back to first principles. Can I ask you, you mentioned Omas and Endes there. Conor Myler's performances this year and just his general maturity, he's kind of emerged now almost since the game as a leader publicly, that you know, he's willing to talk about stuff that we should all be willing to talk about, and that's really important. But such a composed young man, and also like endless gifted, it seems, a big deep thinker of the match. I've been reading his LinkedIn reviews of the Michael Jordan documentary. You know, this is a guy who's studying leadership at PhD level. So what's he like to have in the dressing room?
Yeah, well, I've worked with Conor from a very young age. I've seen him grow, seen him to develop, and credit to his family and Shawnee and Paula, his mother and father, and the time and effort that they put in terms of his development. And Conor would say himself, and has said himself publicly at a young age and through his underage career, he was never the standout player, but he always felt that if he worked hard enough, he would get to the level that needed to be a county player and a senior club footballer, and he's proved that. And in terms of the man himself, he's very driven, as you've seen and heard, and you've seen that in his performances. He shows great leadership with his performances, and the lads feed off his work rate. They feed off his energy in terms of what he can give, how he communicates it to the lads, how he sees the game, how he can impact the game individually and the fellas around him. And I feel that Conor was absolutely delighted. Was one of the lads and many of the lads that had embraced after the game, but to see the journey that he's travelled, he has a big future ahead of him currently on the pitch and also off the pitch, and I was just absolutely delighted for my own club man to achieve the All-Ireland glory.
One of the things that we had on Sheehan up last week in the build-up to the match, just kind of toured around chatting to people, and he came back and said he thought it was a fact, but almost everybody, if not everybody involved in the team, is actually from Tyrone, which is kind of unusual in an inter-county setup. Is that correct? Is it an accident? Was it on purpose? Was it by design?
I think I'm not too sure what the thoughts were around it or why it was that, but I think generally it was people maybe that are like-minded and are wanting the same thing and were prepared to give it. And you know, if you look at the backroom team of Paul, Stevie Rice are both lads that have represented Tyrone as well, and I think that everybody that has a like-mindedness and are wanting the same thing are heading in one direction. It's certainly something that will lead us there.
It's a unified purpose, a unified understanding of what the beliefs are and what the values are and what everybody stands for, I guess.
It definitely is. And I think whilst everybody is wanting the same thing, There was certainly times where things were questioned and you felt that maybe you wanted it done this way or another way. And when it comes to team selection, maybe there are a few thoughts and ideas around other players and other positions. And it's a healthy conversation to have because I suppose, as the saying goes, you don't get harmony with everyone singing the same note. And I think there were definitely times in the year where questions were asked and raised and brought forward, and it's good to have that. And the beauty of the setup that Fergal and Brian had created was everybody had an input and essentially they had the final decision, and thankfully it paid off as a whole.